السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're going to read and reflect on سورة الرعد verses 20 and 21 إن شاء الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فَمَنْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ الْحَقُّ كَمَنْ هُوَ أَعْمَى إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ الذين يوفون بعهد الله ولا ينقضون الميثاق والذين يصلون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويخشون ربهم ويخافون سوء الحساب والذين صبروا ابتغاء وجه ربهم وأقاموا الصلاة وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً وَيَدْرَؤُونَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ أُولَئِكَ لَهُمْ عُقْبَى الدَّارِ صدق الله العلي العظيم. So in ayah number 19, God speaks about those who possess intellect, ulul albab, and this term has been repeated in the Quran several times. Ulul albab. You can see it throughout many chapters in the Quran. Ulul albab. God praises ulul albab. What does that mean? Who are ulul albab? Why God praises them? Why God loves them? Why God says only ulul albab, those who possess intellect, those who use their brain to find out and search about the facts and the truth. Why God speaks highly about them? God says, only those who use their brain, their intellectual gift, are able to find the truth. And ulul albab, those who possess intellect, are the only people who know the truth about religion. Because many people, they think that they are following religion, but they don't know the truth about it. They are being misled. They are being misled. Many people, they think they are traveling on a path that leads them to God and religion, but they are being misled. their GPS has a defect. They have to update the GPS. Have you seen sometimes if you don't update your GPS, it takes you to the wrong direction? Therefore, God says in 19, أَفَمَنْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ الْحَقِّ. The one who knows the truth of revelation, the truth about the book, the truth about the message, the truth about the sunnah of the Prophet, the path of the Prophet, is the one who knows the truth. And he's not equal with the one who is blind. He follows blindly. Many Muslims today, they follow blindly. They don't take time to research. They don't take time to question anything. They go once a week to the Friday prayers, and they think religion is optimized in going to the Friday prayers, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and you are done. You have fulfilled your duty towards God when you go to Friday prayers. And you know, many Muslims, they skip the sermons. You know how many times people call here? Especially those who do not follow the truth, the path of Ahlul Bayt. They only go for the prayers. They don't go to the sermons. Do you know that? They ask, what time is the prayers, not the sermon? So even the sermon, they skip it. So how are they going to know about religion? Religion is not two units of prayers, my friends. Religion is when you incorporate your aql, your brain, your mind, your reason in discovering God, in discovering the truth. God says the truth is there. And you have the means. I've given you the aql, the brain. I endowed you with this biggest gift. Use your brain. Do not follow blindly. Investigate. A few minutes ago, here in the office, I had someone who was Catholic. He converted to Islam just half an hour ago, 45 minutes ago. And this man, I said to him, listen, sometimes a convert who accepts Islam could become a better Muslim than those who are born Muslims. You know why? Because most of those who are born Muslims, they take Islam for granted. They take Islam for granted. They receive it, they inherit Islam. We have people who inherit Islam from their ancestors, their families and their parents. And we have people who discover Islam. They make extra effort to discover it and embrace it. Definitely the second group is better than the first. Those who follow blindly just because they are Muslims, because they are born in this family and they know nothing about Islam. Whereas some converts, they make special effort to know everything about Islam, every details about the foundations of this religion. Therefore, they become more informed, better informed about the religion. This is what God wants us to do, to discover religion, not to follow it blindly, to question. Not to believe in everything said about Islamic history and we take it at face value and we don't even question it. This is not right. This is not the work of a human beings who have been endowed with a brain, with albab. So God says those who know the truth about the revelation, those who know the truth about the Prophet, the truth about his family, the truth about the companions of the Prophet, those who know the true sunnah of the Prophet, the true sunnah. Because some people, they follow some paths, they think that the Prophet did this or said that, but he never did this, neither he said that. You have to investigate. God says only those are the seeing people indeed, who know the truth about Islam. Those who are unaware, they are blind. Those who think they are Muslims, but they know nothing about the truth about the religion, they are blind. And then God says, Ulul Albab are those. So let's check and see whether we are part of Ulul Albab or not. Inshallah, we will. If we are not, we strive to be part of those who possess intellect and they use their intellect not only in making money. Many people, they use their smartness and intellect and aql just to make money, but not to make akhirah, to acquire more money. They are very smart just in making money, but not in building their hereafter, the next chapter. They forget about the next chapter. They focus their energy, their intelligence, on making more money in this dunya. But when it comes to the hereafter, they don't care about it. They don't use their intelligence to discover religion, to discover God. God gave us intelligence first and foremost to get to know Him, to get to know the truth about Him. Use your intelligence, number one, to know the truth about monotheism. What is God? What is the difference between our God that we believe in, that has been mentioned in this book, and other deities? What is the difference? This is important for us to know, my friends. أول الدين معرفته. Imam Ali عليه السلام says the first step into religion is to know about God. معرفة الله. أول الدين. The first step to know the truth about God. أول الدين معرفته. What are the attributes of God? What are the characteristics of God? We have to know these things. And then we know who is the Prophet and what are the manners of the Prophet. Some Muslims, they believe the Prophet can be a sinner. He can sin and he can be a Prophet. They believe that it's not important, it's not necessary for the Prophet to be infallible or sinless. He can commit a crime and he can be a Prophet. Some Muslims are, I'm not speaking about non-Muslims. Is this a true? Someone who commits a crime, he can be a prophet? What sort of leader is he? If he doesn't have a good record, how can he be a role model for us? So we have to know the truth about monotheism, tawheed, the truth about prophethood, risala, nubuwa. And then after that, who's the imam after the prophet? We have to know the truth. Did really God leave this issue for us? He didn't speak about it? Is this true? Or God appointed some successors? And if He appointed them, who are they? We have to know the truth. We have to know the truth about monotheism, tawheed, about prophethood, nubuwa, and about succession, khilafah and imama. Who are the true leaders of Islam? Some people might argue that it's not important to know who's the khalifa, as long as we know God and His apostle. But it is important. The job of the khalifa is not only being a political leader or religious leader. His main job of the Khalifa is the one who interprets this book for us. This is more important than his political role. He's mufassir, interpreter of the book of God. So if the Khalifa is not legitimate, he would not be able to provide me with a legitimate interpretation, tafsir of this book. He will give me the wrong answer. And a leader who gives me a wrong answer is not a leader. Is not qualified to be a leader. This is why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, when I'm going to leave you, and this hadith is accepted by Sunnis and Shias everywhere. You find it in their books. Inni tarikun مخلف فيكم الثقلين كتاب الله وعترتي أهل بيتي. I am leaving behind these two things. The book, the constitution, and those who are going to interpret the constitution rightfully and rightly and legitimately for you. And those are my family, because they have the right knowledge. So don't go after those who have wrong knowledge. Or some of them, they have no knowledge. We read sometimes some incidents happen that a lady in the congregation stood and asked the caliph, one of the caliphs, what is the meaning of this verse? A lady asked him, can you interpret this verse? وَفَاكِهَةً وَأَبًّا مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ The caliph said, I'm sorry, I don't know. He didn't know the answer. An answer to a simple verse in the Quran. He could not provide an answer. Go and check it out. It's written in the books of history. The caliph said, I'm sorry. I can't. But the Prophet said, I'm going to leave behind the book and those who are going to give you the right answer, not those who are unable to give you an answer. Or sometimes they give you the wrong answer. So we have to know the fact about religion, my friends. We should not be misled. This is our responsibility. God is not going to excuse me tomorrow if I tell him, God, but you know, I followed my family, my congregation, my community. I followed the majority. God says, if you have followed the majority, you should have been Buddhist, not Muslim, because the majority of people on earth today are Buddhist. So go and follow them. And they are very smart, believe me. In China, they build everything. They are Buddhist, and they are very successful in this life, financially successful. They eat healthy food. They do good exercise. They drive nicely. So why didn't you follow the majority? You cannot say to God, I followed the majority. This is wrong. God says, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ Show me the proof, the rational proof. Don't tell me I followed my family. This is not an answer. إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ Those who possess knowledge, those who possess intellect, and those who use their intellect, their brain, first and foremost in discovering religion. Then other issues. Then issues about life. But first and foremost, your intelligence has to be utilized, your brain, your intellect has to be utilized in discovering the truth about religion. And this is a lifetime endeavor. This is a daily task to discover the truth about religion. Daily task. It does not end, my friends. Understanding Islam does not end in 1 month or 2 months or 1 year or 2 years. It's a lifetime mission. A lifetime mission. إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُوا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ Then God says, أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ are those الَّذِينَ يُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ Those who fulfill the pact with God, بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَنْقُضُونَ الْمِيثَاقِ They do not break the covenant. What is the covenant that we should honor and we should not break? We have many covenants. The first covenant is the one that is mentioned in chapter 7, Surah Al-A'raf. God says, before I created you, I asked you, I interviewed you. We've been interviewed by God. Interviewed. Before we came into this existence, physical existence. Alam al-Dhar. We were spirits. God interviewed us. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ This was the question we received in that interview. One question only. Primordial interview. And that was, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ Do you accept me as your Lord? Am I not your Lord? قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا Yes, we accept you. So we made a covenant. Because we said yes. We said yes to him. We made covenant to accept him as our Lord, creator, sustainer, cherisher, leader. So we have to continue. We cannot break this covenant. We cannot reject him later on. We accepted him and we signed the pact and the covenant with him. So halfway through, you cannot turn your face to the other direction and say, God, I don't need you anymore because today I'm in America. I needed you when I was penniless. I was homeless. I was hungry. So I used to say, God, God, now I'm rich. I have house. I have income. Why should I need you? Why should I need you? Some people, they don't really, you know, need God in their life. This is what they think. They think God is only 911 when they have a tragedy, their car breaks down. Oh God. They have pain in their stomach. Oh God. They lose some money. Oh God. But if they are okay, then they don't say, oh God. This is how some people treat God. They turn away from Him. We have covenant with God that we accept Him. We accept His prophets, the messages of all the prophets, not just Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the prophets. And then we accept those who come after the prophets, the imams, the successors, we accept them. And the last imam today is Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam. We made a covenant with him that we respect him. He's our imam, he's our leader, he's our guide. And then there are other covenants. So some covenants we made between us and God. And there are some covenants we made between us and people. The first covenant you made with your parents, because you are your parents' son, your parents' child, your parents' daughter. So the covenant says you have to respect your parents. You have to help your parents. You have to be with your parents. You have to stand with your parents. Do not abandon your parents. The second covenant you made between you and people is your marriage. If you have married someone, then you have to respect that covenant, that deal that you made. You made a deal that I will bring this lady into my life, so I have to take care of her. She doesn't, or her father doesn't have to tell me she needs clothing, she needs food, she needs attention, she needs care. I made a covenant. I have to know my duties. Or when she marries him, she has to take care of him because they made covenant to stay together, to help each other. Marriage is the biggest covenant. Marriage is an important covenant. We made a covenant, deal, pact. We don't abandon our families. And then we made covenant with our children. Once you decide to have a children, your responsibility is not confined to bringing food to this child, but to bring something more important than food, and that is adab and akhlaq and manners. To teach your children how to behave, how to treat people. This is very important. We cannot abandon this. This is our responsibility. Inspiring our children is a lifetime mission. Not just the first 5 years or first 10 years. Some people say, I'm responsible for my daughter for till the age of 18. Then she goes by herself. Once they leave the house, I don't care. You must care till the end of your life. You care about your children, about guiding them, about admonishing them, about advising them, being with them, supporting them, empowering them. This is a covenant. And then you made covenant with people around you, with your neighbors, with those that you work with. Sometimes you work with people who are Muslims, sometimes they are non-Muslims. You have to respect their rights because job is a covenant. Whether you are self-employed or you're employed by the federal government, local government, foreign government, you have to respect the covenant. Many people do not respect their deal with their employees. Many employees do not respect the covenant with their employers. They don't. Today I read in the New York Times that there is a term called hatch law. Do you know about it? Hatch law? Who knows about it? The hatch law means, check it out when you go home. It means that if you work for a federal government, you must abide by the rules. One of them, that you do not become partisan in your office. So you don't discuss politics. So let's say you work for the federal government and you follow the Republican Party. or the Democratic Party, or whatever party, the Green Party, or the, you know, whatever party, then you should not discuss politics in the office. Why? Because this might cause some rift between you and your co-workers. Stay away from that. Stay away from that. They call it a hatch law. I knew about it just recently. You cannot speak and say, my candidate is the best. You cannot promote, propagate, not even mention who your candidate is. You cannot tell employees that I am voting for this party. Stay away from that. Keep the federal environment clean of partisanship. This is nice. But they said, you know who's violating that? One of the president's advisors. What's her name? Kellyanne Conley. She, in every session, she discussed these things. And they sent her warning, but she says, I don't care. I don't respect the covenant. And I'm not surprised someone like her who does not respect the covenant. We have to respect the covenant. When you sign on a piece of paper, you put your signature, you respect that signature. Our scholars, they write in their thesis, in their books, that if you apply for a visa, and there is visa application you have to fill, whatever country it is, once you go into that country, you have to respect the rules and regulations of that country. Why? Because you put your signature on the form that I am getting the visa, you allow me to come into your country, in return for respecting your laws. Even if you don't like their laws, you have to respect it. Because you made a covenant, you put your signature. You cannot breach that. وَالَّذِينَ يُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ. They fulfill the covenant with God and with people around them. You take a loan sometimes. I was yesterday somewhere, someone said, I used to give قَرْضُ الْحَسَنَةِ, free interest loan to people. Until I stopped recently. I said, why? He said, because two people, they did not return the money. They took the loan, and I see them, they pray, they fast, mashallah, good mu'mins, but when it comes to money, they don't return my money. My friends, Islam is not about prayers or fasting. Islam is about amana. Amana, being trustworthy. Being trustworthy. This is the spirit of Islam. Islam is not just the prayers or fasting and then you are cleared. You have security clearance for paradise. No. Islam is about your behavior. Your trustworthiness. Do people trust you or not? When you take something from someone, would you return it to him or not? This is, God is going to judge you over these things. Your amana. Amana is important. This is covenant. When you take a loan, whether it's from a bank, okay, Islamic institution, non-Islamic institution, we don't care. You made a covenant. You took money from a credit card company, from a bank, from mortgage company. You have to return the money, the full money. Full money. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam says, three things Allah did not give permission for violation. Three things. Whether the other side is believer or non-believer, Muslim, mu'min or kafir, one of them to return the trust. You take some money, you take something from someone. Whether that person is Muslim or disbeliever in God, he does not accept God. Still, you have to give him back his trust. You have to give him back what you took from him, even if he rejects God. لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهِ فِيهَا رُخْصَةٌ لِأَحَدٍ. ثَلَاثَةُ أُمُورٍ. Imam Zain al-Abid. One of them, أَدَاءُ الْأَمَانَةِ إِلَىٰ كُلِّ بَرٍّ وَفَاجِرٍ. Give back the amana that you took. Anything, anything. Whether it's $1 or $1 million. You took it from someone and you promised him, I will return it to you. Then you must return it to him. You must return it to him or to her. Even if they don't pray, even if they reject God. This is the spirit of religion. This is what makes religion beautiful. This is what makes a human being, a Muslim, a true Muslim, when they respect the amana, the trust. وَالَّذِينَ يُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ. Those who possess intellect are those who fulfill their covenant with God. وَلَا يَنْقُضُونَ. They do not break that covenant. وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلْ. The second attribute of that is that they connect and join what God has commanded to be joined. يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلْ. What does that mean? Connect with whom? God says you must connect with those that I want you to connect with them. What does that mean? It has two meanings. One specific meaning pertains to the school of Ahlul Bayt. It has been narrated that our sixth Imam, which we're going to commemorate his martyrdom, not this coming Thursday, the Thursday after that, on the 27th of June, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, alayhi salatu wassalam. He says this connection that God talks about in this verse, يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُصَلْ. You should connect to those that God asks you to connect with them, to join with them. He says, نَزَلَتْ فِي رَحِمِ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ عَلَيْهِمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Connect to the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Connect to them. God has given this family as a gift. His best gift to mankind is Muhammad and Al Muhammad. Joseph, Yusuf, he became king. People thought that he is happy. Now he's the king of Egypt, dignified. People are respecting him, honoring him, and God vindicated him. People knew the truth that he did not have any sexual relationship with Zulaikha. He did not chase her. She was fabricating lies against him. So alhamdulillah, now he is clean. Everybody knows that this man is a pure. He said, God, you made me king of Egypt and you gave me knowledge. But I have one more request. My happiness is not going to complete unless you promise me to grant me this need. What was it? You know what was it? On the Day of Judgment, I want to be with Muhammad and Al-Muhammad. He says, Rabbi qad ataytani min al-mulk. In Surah Yusuf. God, you have given me the kingdom. Now I'm the king. وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. And you gave me that special knowledge that I know the truth about every sign you send. وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. أَنْتَ وَلِيِّي فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. I have one more request now from you. My happiness is not going to be complete until you promise me you will do this to me. What is it? تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. When I die surrendering to you, and I want to be gathered al-hiqni to the righteous people on the day of. Who are? Look at the tafsir. Tafsir says salihin here, hum Muhammadun wa alu Muhammad alayhim as-salatu wassalam. Paradise without al-Muhammad worth nothing, believe me. The beauty of paradise, it's not the food or the drink or the trees or, you know, hur al-ain. The beauty of paradise is when you are able to see the face of Rasulullah, the face of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the face of Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein. And for the Sayyids, those of you, the face of Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. To see their face, to be with them, to have access, to speak to them. You tell them, I always believed in you. I always loved you. I don't want to be gathered somewhere else far from you. I want to be in your neighborhood, in your zip code, live with you. توفني مسلما وألحقني بالصالحين. So this is, Imam al-Sadiq says, this is the meaning. The other meaning of it, والذين يصلون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل, is connect with your family. The most important thing you have in this life is your family. Connect with your parents. Sometimes I see people of Iman, they don't miss their prayers. They don't miss Hajj or Ziyarah or good deeds. But when it comes to family relationships, they don't honor it. They don't speak to their brothers, sisters, brothers, siblings. They don't speak. Two brothers, they live in one town, in one city, they don't speak to each other. This is not good. This is not good. Don't bring me excuses, tell me he did this, he did that. I don't understand this. Yes, sometimes a friend, you don't have to see your friend. There is nowhere in the hadith or our book that you must connect to a friend. It's good to connect, but not a must. But when it comes to your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, you must. You cannot disconnect with them. Suppose they are bad. You don't have to be bad too. You have to be the good one. Let them be bad. Be the good one. Be the one who gets the credit. وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلْ Connect to them. You don't have to be with them 24/7, at least during the Eid, pick up the phone, say salam. Say, I miss you. Say, let's get for lunch, for dinner, for whatever. At least twice a year, three times, four times a year, say salam to your cousins. Don't disconnect, this is not good. The hadith says it is catastrophic when you disconnect with your families. Catastrophic, the results. Because God says in the same book, see, when you go down, two more pages, two more lines, not pages. وَالَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلْ They disconnect, has two meanings. Disconnect with Ahlul Bayt, one meaning, specific, and disconnect with their family members, another meaning. What will happen to them? Listen. من بعد ميثاقه ويقطعون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويفسدون في الأرض أولئك لهم اللعنة They don't receive God's mercy at all on the day of judgment. لهم اللعنة This is the book. لهم اللعنة ولهم سوء الدار Try to have the courage. Crush the shaytan inside you. Say, I'm not going to listen to shaytan. I'm not going to become arrogant. I listen to God and to my book. They disconnect to me, this is their problem. I would not disconnect with them. They don't answer my call, I'll leave them a message. I leave them a message. They don't open the door, I go there. I try to knock at the door. If they open it, good for them. If they don't open it, you get the credit. May Allah bless you all, inshallah. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat innaka mujib ad da'awat. We are having this youth and young generation 20th. This is the 20th year. May God help me. I put up 20 years with the youth here in this community. 20 years with those youth. This is our 20th anniversary. So it is going to be June 28th, 29th, 30th. Friday, Saturday and Sunday at Big Bear Lake Conference, which is a nicer place. So send the young ones, those who are 16 and up, not younger, 16 and up. Up to 49.11 months. Before you get to your 50th birthday, you have a chance to join us, inshallah. And register, please, because once you register, you get discount. Because some people, every year, for the last 20 years, people come last minute, we don't have space. We are full. And then they complain, what sort of Islam is this? What sort of... I say, it's a good Islam. Organize it. You are not organized. Islam is organized. Islam says register 1 month, 2 months before. So if you want them to be there, let them register. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات وعجل في فرج إمامنا وسيدنا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.